Good morning, church. The song has nothing to do with the lesson. I just like that Ludwig von Beethoven wrote this music to it. So, all kidding aside, the song teaches an incredible truth. And it's not the occasion, but Isaac Watts, who wrote that song, was a teenager in the 1700s. And he came home complaining about the music that was being sung in church and how it just didn't mean anything to him. You know what his dad told him to do? His dad said, if you don't like the music, why don't you write some yourself? If you look in our songbooks right now, there are probably 10 songs by Isaac Watts over 300 years later that we still sing, including that one. When I survey the wondrous cross, alas, and did my Savior bleed. Those are all Isaac Watts songs who was prompted to write those songs because he didn't like the music that was being sung in church. And we're still singing those songs. So at any rate, that is a very meaningful song, and it does help segue us into our lesson today. First of all, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers who are present today and those who are online. And if you're not a mother, then happy Mother's Day to you too, because it's still Mother's Day. And we all had a mother, right? So we're thankful for our moms. You will notice that my Mother's Day sermons are not typical Mother's Day sermons that you may have become accustomed to throughout the years. I had a conversation with some moms a number of years ago who, after a sermon on Proverbs 23, felt like they were being beaten to death because they couldn't match up in any way, shape, form, or fashion to that perfect woman in Proverbs 31. And so I like to encourage our moms, as well as everyone else. And I think you'll notice that through the course of this lesson this morning. But happy Mother's Day to you all. For those of you who are without your moms, as I am, it can be bittersweet. But thankful that we do have our moms who are still with us. Secondly, I am leaving Wednesday morning for Guyana on a planned medical trip that has been planned for a year and a half. Actually, over a year and a half now, and COVID kind of waylaid our plans. Be leaving out Wednesday. I'll be back the following Sunday about midday, and I'm looking forward to telling you all about my trip and what things we are doing there and things that we have planned for the future when I return on Sunday night, June the 6th. I'll give a report, and you're invited back for that report. We're also going to make sure that it is broadcast for those who are unable to be here in that evening. But I would like to tell you about the trip, about the role that you all have played in this particular trip at such an early stage in my ministry here, but also what the plans moving forward are for our work in South America. So I'm excited about it. This is about my 15th or 16th trip. You know, when you start losing track of how many times you've been going a long time. And I love the work there, I love the people there, and I look forward to sharing that with you all. Would you please join me in prayer this morning? Holy Father, we thank you so much for the blessings of this day, and we're so grateful for your love for us. We are overwhelmed by the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And we look at each other, and we look at our families, and we don't know where we would be without that sacrifice. We thank you for that. We thank you for mothers and grandmothers and others who have instilled within us this incredible good news to encourage us to be not only faithful stewards in your kingdom, but to be proper citizens in the world in which we live. Thank you for their influence that continues even after they go into eternity. And we're thankful for your word. Father, guide us with it today and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who is the greatest influence on your children? And you may be going through a lot of things, but are they sports stars? Are they the idols that your children look up to? Are they the greatest influence on your kids? Well, what about people who are famous for being famous? People that have never really done anything, but they are a celebrity for some reason. They've never won awards. They've never made great movies. They've never done a lot of things, but they have a large voice in our society. Or perhaps It is performers who have accomplished great things and then taken their fame and their popularity and use it in activism. Whether you agree with them or not, are those the people who are influencing your children? Or it could be musicians, songwriters, singers who become very popular because of their music and then begin to share a worldview with your children and those like your children in order to direct them the way they think they should be going spiritually and societally. Who's the greatest influence in your children's life? I'd invite you to join me in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning as we investigate the final writing of the Apostle Paul that we have preserved for us by the Holy Spirit. This is his second letter to Timothy, and Timothy has struggled in his ministry. He has struggled for a while. As you look at the first letter to Timothy and now to this letter, bear in mind as we read this section of scripture that Timothy is struggling. He's having difficulties. Paul is imprisoned. You know, just like Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, it's easy to be number 2. But when Moses dies, God's got to come to Joshua and tell him how many times in chapter 1 to be strong and courageous, do not be afraid. He wasn't telling him that because he had it all put together. He was telling him that because he was not strong, he was not courageous, and he was afraid. Because now everything fell on his shoulders. With Paul in prison and his death imminent, Timothy has a lot on him, and he's fearful. Keep that in mind. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May God bless the reading of his word. You can see there, reading between the lines, he's talking about Timothy's tears, his hesitancy, and he's talking about him being fearful. God didn't give you that spirit of fear. He gave us a very different spirit than that. And so he's encouraging him. But in the middle of that encouragement, he pulled out the grandmother and mother card. You like that? Yeah, I know I'm an apostle, and I know that I reared you, and I made a missionary out of you, and I've established you as a preacher, but don't you remember what your grandmother said? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, in your own mind, I could stand up here and give you grandmotherisms all day. My mother's mother was a widow at 46 years of age. My mom was 11 years old. Her husband, my grandfather, whom I never met, was a gospel preacher. And she lived to be 87 years old, never dated a man, never had any use for anybody. She stayed married to him until the day she died, in her own mind. But she was a pauper. But she was one of the wisest women and richest women I've ever known. She only had an 8th grade education, but she knew the Bible better than most people I know today. And I'm here to tell you today that in my life, I would not be where I was were it not for the encouragement and the prayers of my grandmother. Here we have Paul pulling the grandmother card. Don't you remember your grandmother? Don't you remember your mom? Don't you remember what they had to say to you? I want you to look at this with me for just a moment and reflect upon this legacy of influence. This legacy of influence. Because this is such a critical aspect of who we are as the community of Christ. Because this is not about Mother's Day, although it is Mother's Day, and it's fantastic that we have Mother's Day, but this is about each and every person in the body of Christ being an influence over those around them, especially our children. Now, when you look around, who do you want influencing your kids? I got nothing against those four people that I put up on the board a while ago, but I use them as examples because they're popular. I got nothing against them, but I don't want them to be the primary influence in my children's lives. They're not qualified for that. As a matter of fact, they show themselves on many occasions to be disqualified for that. But yet the media and society continues to prop them up as great influences when we ourselves ought to be the ones that they are looking up to. Consider the genuine faith of Lois and Eunice. Genuine. It was sincere faith. It was true faith that dwelt in them. You could see it in them. They lived it out on a daily basis. That faith had come and made its happy home in their hearts and in their lives. And you couldn't help but see it. These two ladies were such a strong influence on Timothy. See, Timothy's dad was a Gentile. And we don't know if he became a Christian at some point, but we know that his mother was Jewish, her mother was Jewish, and they from an early age instilled the scriptures into Timothy's mind so that when the gospel was preached, when Christ was reasoned from the Old Testament scriptures, they got it. They followed up with it. And they saw the fulfillment of Jesus as this beautiful thing that God had brought into existence, fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures. They passed their faith on to Timothy through their teaching to him and through their example before him. Now, I don't believe in an inherited faith because I don't think an inherited faith saves anybody. I can't be saved on your faith or my grandmother's faith or my sister's faith or my children's faith. I can't be saved on somebody else's faith. I have to have my own faith. But I can pass that love of Christ along, the love of the scriptures. I can pass that along to generate faith in another person's life, especially within the lives of our children. We've got to teach it, and we've got to live it as an example. As imperfect as our example is, they still need to see that example. You know what a great part of being an example is as a Christian to your children? You know what your kids are going to see? They're going to see you mess up. They're going to see you fail. But you know what they get to see after that? They get to see how you handle that failure. What you do with it. Because you're modeling behavior. No matter how old your kids are. Even when they're adults, you're modeling behavior. Because I'm a man with feet of clay. You're a person with feet of clay. We're going to stumble in our lives. But what do we do with it when we do? Where do we go with that? Lois and Eunice were not perfect, but they had a genuine faith that dwelt in them, and they helped to pass that along to Timothy. Now, as you venture further into this letter in chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, as you look at this, he's throwing him right back into the opening of his letter. He's taking him back to his grandmother and his mother, from whom you have learned them. Who was there from childhood to teach? And let me tell you something. Just because your kids aren't little anymore doesn't mean you still can't have an impact on their lives. You can start right now. You can start right now. You guys that don't have kids yet, that are hoping to, start praying right now for God to make you the influence you need to be on your children's lives when He does bless you with children. Start praying now for that. Start praying for godly spouses for your children, even before they're born. You know, there's a lot of things you can do, even though you don't have your own children, that can affect the generations that come after you. From whom you have learned them. What is it that he'd learned? He'd been taught the Holy Scriptures. Now, as great as VeggieTales is, it is no substitute for God's Word. I like silly songs. I like all of those things. I think they're cute. But folks, that is not a substitute. Videos are not a substitute. You got to get into God's Word. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. If you're not in the habit of doing that right now and you start getting in the habit of doing that, do you know who's going to be impacted by that? You are. And subsequently, your children will be. But you're going to impact yourself. Do you understand? This is good for you too. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. Think about that. Now, I don't know how many kids they got back there right now, and I don't know how many kids we got sitting in here right now. And by kids, I mean at home. But if I lined all of them up right here, and I told you that statistically across the nation, we're losing half of our kids to the world. And I lined up your kids and everybody else's kids up here. Would somebody like to come up and tell me which 50% we're going to let go? Which ones we won't let go? You see, we've got to make our kids wise for salvation. They ultimately will make their own decision when they grow, but we've got to give them the information that God gave us so they can make the right decision. So there's no excuse for them choosing to reject. We don't want them to reject out of ignorance. If they're going to reject, they need to reject because it's their choice as an adult to do so. And we don't want that either. But we know that adults make decisions for themselves. We have free will. Able to make you wise for salvation. Our brother led a couple of songs right out of the chute this morning. Glory Land Way, There Is a Habitation, Any Place is Home. You know, those songs are about where we want to go, where we want to spend eternity, right? We want to spend eternity with God in heaven. Do you want your kids there? Do you want your grandchildren there? Do you want your nieces and nephews there? Do you want the children in this congregation there? If your answer is anything but a resounding yes, then you've got some work to do on yourself. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God is going to give your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, and the other children in this congregation. He's going to give them time and opportunity. But are we going to give them what they need in order to make the right decision? Are we going to live it out in our own lives? You see, God's word is profitable. This God-breathed word is profitable for religious teaching, for proving the things the Bible says are true, for correcting us when we are wrong, and for instructing us in the right way to live. You want to hear what the greatest lie that's going around right now is? My truth. That's the greatest lie the world's telling our kids right now, and telling you too. My truth. I'm sorry, if your truth isn't God's truth, it is not truth. We've got to help our children to see that, to be discerning, to be able to see that God's way is the only way. It's not just the right way, it's the only way to live a profitable life. Because God's word makes us complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Without it, we can't accomplish anything of value. We might win World Series. We might have gold records. We might have Academy Awards. And none of that's going to matter. None of it. As was read at the opening in Ephesians chapter 6, after Paul spends a fair amount of time equating our marriages to the marriage of Christ to his church. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up. They're not going to get it by osmosis. You understand? They're not going to get it because you've got a Bible sitting on the coffee table. You've got to nurture your children. You have to rear them as a parent. By the way, you raise crops, you rear children. Look it up. And I was told, it's because the rear is a good part of discipline. And that's why we rear our children. Had my fair share. Didn't have as many as I needed, I can promise you that. But we need to discipline our children. And I'm not talking about just a spanking. I'm talking about the total aspect of discipline in our children's lives. To help structure things for them, nurture them. We've got to instruct them in how to live their life correctly. And part of that instruction is us living it before them as an example. Some practical things that you need to do. You need to pray with them as well as pray for them. You need to pray with your children. You need to be involved in church activities. Now, for those that bring your steel-toed boots, get ready. Our schools get our kids for 40 hours a week. And I don't care if it's a Christian school, public school, private school, I don't care. They are influencing your children, rightly or wrongly. They're teaching them rightly or wrongly. And you need to be able to undo, overdo, correct whatever you need to do that's coming from those schools from your kids. And you're not going to be able to do that if you don't have all tools in your toolbox being employed. A youth minister can't save your kid. The elders can't save your kids. A Bible school program, Faith City, can't save your kids, but they are tools in your toolbox that you need to enhance what you are doing to raise your children right. I just said raise instead of rear, didn't I? Do you understand? We've got to employ. It's all hands on deck. Our Bible class teachers are spending time preparing lessons for children that don't show up. There are activities that are planned. Vacation Bible school, summer camp, lads to leaders. All of these things are planned for children that don't show up. Oh, absolutely, there are some who do. But listen to me. We're not taking advantage of the things that are in place to help make our children wise for salvation. You need to have them here. And I'm not being critical. I'm just being truthful. It's hard sometimes. I get it. We had two 18 months apart. Okay? I get it. No, I didn't have twins. No, I didn't have 11. No, I didn't have a boy and a girl. No, I didn't have all these. But I know what I know, and I know that with two 18 months apart, it's not easy. You got two in diapers at the same time. And one of them decides to give up his naps the day you bring the other one home from the hospital. Okay? So I understand that. Susie understands it better than I do. But we had our children there, and I wasn't in the ministry then. We were there for Bible class. We were there for Sunday morning. We were there for Sunday night. We were there for Wednesday nights. We had our kids there. And our kids aren't perfect because they came from us. But there's a faith that has been instilled in our children that would not have been as strong if we had not employed those things. Our children went to CYC. Our children did Lads to Leaders. Our children did summer camps with churches. They were involved. And that's no guarantee, but I'm telling you, you got to employ everything you can to help your children. And you need to be studying the Bible with them. You know, hey, what did you guys learn about this morning in Bible class? Hey, guess what we talked about in Bible class today? Verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, knowing from whom you have learned them. He's speaking specifically there of Lois and Eunice, a mother and a grandmother who loved this young man so much that they taught him from an early age what he needed. Now, who are we going to allow to be the greatest influence in our children's lives? When I was growing up, I looked up people like Johnny Unitas. I looked up to Bart Starr, Brooks Robinson, Willie Mays, Carl Yastrzemski. I looked up to Jerry West, Bill Russell. I looked up to some folks that are all Hall of Famers now. But you know what I never looked to them for? Spiritual guidance in how to live my life. I love to watch them play baseball and basketball and football. but they never were an influence on me spiritually. We need to have everything in its proper place for the sake of our children. Because if we don't, we're going to lose them. And I'm not talking about in this life. I'm talking about spending an eternity without your children there. And who wants to volunteer for that? Everybody in this room right now can be a Lois and a Eunice. Every one of you. Not only to your own children, but to those children with whom you come in contact. Maybe you're needed to encourage a parent to give them that extra help that they need in order to overcome some hardship that has come upon them. But everybody here can do something to help in this most critical ministry that we have, and that is this mission field that are our children that are right at our feet. Yeah, I'm going to a foreign land this week. And you know what I'm going to see while I'm there? I'm going to see children there too. I'm going to take them some clothes and some coloring books and all kinds of neat things. But the most important thing that I'm going to take to them is that Jesus loves them and that He is the only way out of this life to an eternal home. What happens when I'm gone? I have no idea. But here, moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, or just friends, this is a great, great mission field for us. Let's leave a legacy of influence so that if Paul were to write his letter today, knowing from whom you learned them, he would be referencing you. You see, Jesus came not only so we could be saved, but so our children could be saved as well. He desires for our children to become the next generation of teachers, deacons, elders, preachers, servants in the church. That's His desire. Let's help His desire to be fulfilled in our actions. This morning, sometimes I know how inadequate I feel as a father and as a parent. And maybe you feel the same way. Or maybe there's somebody else that you haven't influenced properly. Make a change today. Make up your mind today. I'm going to do better than I did yesterday. Than I did last week. Than last month. Than last year. Make that determination. Do you need our help? Can we pray with you and pray for you for that or any other need? Or maybe you're here today and maybe you've been made wise into salvation, but you've yet to obey the gospel call of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess His precious name, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins? We'd love to help you with that right now. But whatever your need is, please don't hesitate to make it known. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?